At Bubble Genius, we know that it's a dog-eat-dog world, and sometimes all you've got is man's best friend. We know you'd do anything for your precious pup. When he's a good boy, you give him his favorite treat. When he's gotta go, you take him for a nice walk. When he destroys your favorite shoes, you scold him, lament, and go shoe shopping. And when he eats God knows what and his ass becomes a dirty, stinking mess, well, we've got your backside on that one. You know that we Bubble Geniuses make fun, awesome soaps for people, but did you also know that we make stuff for your best friend? We've got dog soaps, shampoos, and conditioners that'll clean your disgusting doggy in no time and leave him soft, cuddly, and smelling super. And we don't stop with the de-stinking there. We also make Kismet, our flea-repelling doggy perfume that leaves your pup smelling sweet and dreamy. Doggy kisses leaving you offended at your pup's palate? Turn those sour smooches to sweet with Kiss Me, our all-natural breath spray for dogs. Works wonders on humans, too. Pamper your precious pup with genius products and more at bubblegenius.com.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
I'm a student of print journalism, and I just wanted to know, what advice do you have for young people coming up into the field? Like, a lot of professors are telling us how hard it is to get into the field at first. I'd just like to know, since you're in the field, do you have any advice on that? For instance, experience, is that important?
Uh-huh. Sure.
Is that probably the most important element?
Well, it's way up there.
It's way up there? Anything else? Anything you can do?
Pressure under fire.
Mm-hmm.
Done this before. I don't want it to be his first surgery.
Okay.
Applied himself well.
Mm-hmm.
These are things I'd have confidence in a young MD.
Okay. I'm talking about journalism field.
I'm lost. What do you mean?
The journalism. Like, I'm a student of journalism at a college, and I was just wondering the most important aspect of getting into journalism, not the medical field. I think you're exhausted from 30 nights.
I am exhausted from 30 nights.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Pleasure is just a click away with radio as your guest. There's no quicker way, so click away. Radio does the rest.
I can get the part from Bristol. It'll take 2 weeks. Here's your pomade.
2 weeks? That don't do me no good.
Here's Ford Auto Man's Bristol.
Hold on now. I don't want this pomade. I want Dapper Dan.
I don't care Dapper Dan. I care Fop.
Well, I don't want Fop, goddammit. I'm a Dapper Dan man.
Watch your language, young fella. This is a public market. Now, if you want Dapper Dan, I can order for you. Have it in a couple of weeks.
Well, ain't this place a geographical oddity? 2 weeks from everywhere. Forget it. A dozen hairnets.
The following podcast contains harsh language, nudity, graphic violence, adult situations, and a healthy obsession with empirical reality. The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
It is Thursday, January 17th, 2013, and this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. I'm Bob, that's Chez, brought to you as always by BubbleGenius.com. They're the best damn soap in the world, and that dog soap, I've used that dog soap on my own body, and it is...
Of course you have.
It's amazing. I mean, I'm not joking here. I mean, you can actually use the dog soap on your human body, and it smells really good and gets you really clean. And like a lot of their
soap...
Maybe
you're a dog.
I could be. I could be part dog. I have no idea. But... The great thing about the Bubble Genius soaps, and they don't really talk about this a lot, but I do, because this is important to me. The Bubble Genius soaps, actually, they're textured in a way that it feels good. It feels good in your hand, and it feels good on your body. I don't know what it is. It's the design. It's the interesting shapes that they make the soaps in. So check it out, BubbleGenius.com. We're also brought to you by the BobSeska.com Amazon link. It's at the top right of the... website called BobSeska.com, and if you click on that link and go to Amazon through it, we get a teeny tiny commission on everything you buy at Amazon. Well, most of the things. I've learned that there are some things that they don't pay commissions on. But most of the stuff they do. And so that's, you know, it's a convenient way for us to pick up some extra dollars to help the site run smoothly. And it's no sweat for you. You're already on the blog. You're reading our stuff. And you just click on that link and go through to Amazon.com and do all your shopping there. So, that's that. And, you know, by the way, speaking of monetization of things, I was thinking about doing, like, some merchandise for the show.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, as a way for us to pick up some money for the show. Like
T-shirts?
Yeah, like T-shirts and hats and mugs and things like that. So, this is one of the things I'm considering. There was sort of a demand
toys.
For... Yeah, I mean, yes, sex toys, right. I don't know. Has Cafe Press started doing sex toys?
I don't know.
We'll see.
But, you should giving new meaning to the phrase, shove Bob and Chez into your pants.
Right. So, yeah, I'm going to be looking into that. There was some discussion on Facebook demanding some Bob and Chez show merchandise. Well, no, maybe. Maybe we'll see what happens.
I'm sure we can come up with something.
Yeah. So, big show this week. And maybe even a bigger after party. You know, this afternoon, we're actually recording the show much, much earlier than we normally do. It's about 12:30 LA time. And we're getting the show done early, partly because you have an appointment and partly because I got to watch the Lance Armstrong thing this afternoon. I mean, it's a pretty big event. That's going to be, I think, 9 Eastern, 8 Central, and whatever the hell it is, LA time or Hawaii time. I have no idea. Yeah. But I'm looking forward to that. We're going to talk about that a little more on the after party today.
Didn't the Onion do a story right after they kicked Lance Armstrong out about how that was the last story that would ever be written about cycling? Not to insult the sport that you love. It was very funny though.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I certainly as a cycling fan, I'm familiar with all of the cycling.
I can't watch anything with Oprah. I just can't.
Yeah.
Well, everything with Oprah is a bad Oprah. So, I can't. I mean, I'm interested in it because I'm just curious to see, obviously, what he has to say. I'm not, you know, a big diehard cycling fan, nor am I really all that into Lance Armstrong. I have no opinion. I don't have a dog in the fight one way or the other. But yeah, I mean, I know I don't want to watch it because I just can't stand Oprah.
Yeah. Well, I think, and a friend of mine on Facebook commented about this and made a really good point because I was kind of like, well, no one likes cycling except it seems like me. I'm the only one in the world who seems to like it. But yet everyone is so concerned about whether or not Lance Armstrong cheated. And there was a...
Well, I mean,
it was disproportional that way.
He's a celebrity, and he's a celebrity for more than just cycling.
That's right. And that's what my friend Josh said. I mean, he said that, you know, this guy kind of transcended the sport and became an icon sort of America, representing America. And, you know, and in that respect, everyone
he nailed Sheryl Crow with one ball. Yeah. I have two balls. Can't nail Sheryl Crow.
I don't see what difference that makes. You're not nailing her with your balls.
You obviously don't watch the same kind of porn that I do.
If you're actually using your balls, see, I'm going to have to bleep this entire part of the show. If you're using your balls for penetration, then you're doing it wrong.
Don't bleep the whole thing. Just bleep the dirty words. I know.
I'm going to bleep the dirty words.
Okay.
Because anyway. We hardly ever talk about this. We're on the radio in Washington, D.C.
This is true. Because I know we're the worst thing that anyone's ever heard in Washington, D.C., our language.
Every Saturday evening, I think from 5 to 6, we're on 1480 AM, We Act Radio, WPWC. Cool. And
No, I mean, I agree with that, though. I think that Armstrong, simply because, you know, I think most people don't care about cycling. Again, no offense to the sport that you really like, but I think that, you know, he's a star. He's a huge star, and he transcended it. And also, because he won an international competition, Americans, regardless of the sport, tend to rally around anything that allows for nationalism.
That's true.
So, you know, he's the dominant, you know, the American dominated the Frenchies for 7 years.
Right. Well, we're going to talk about Lance Armstrong more on the after party tomorrow, noon Eastern on Friday. So we'll get into that in more depth. But, you know, we've got some actual serious topics to discuss on this here show. By the way, you know what? I forgot to mention last week, We're going to be meeting up in Johnson City, Tennessee, on the evening of February 26th at a location to be announced. It'll be near somewhere,
location.
Somewhere near the Carnegie Hotel in Johnson City, Tennessee.
Jesus.
You know, and that's going to be fun. That's on February 26th. It's just a little more than a month away from now.
And so if you want to kill us, you'll know where we are.
That's right. And then on the 27th, we're going to be speaking on a panel at ETSU on social media and politics. We're both going to be in the same room. And so you want to come and see us. That's open to the public. You can come down and see us at the college. So let's talk a little bit of gun control here. And when I say a little bit, I don't mean a little bit. It's probably going to be more than a little bit. But this week, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the president's proposals for gun control and a bunch of the stuff that he did immediately through executive orders. I mean, 23 different things.
And, that's because he's a king.
That's right. That's right. He's a dictator.
That's what Rand Paul had to say.
That's ridiculous.
As if I ever give a crap about anything Rand Paul has to say about anything.
Yeah,
ever.
And there's already a slate of Republicans who are proposing impeachment over all of this.
Of course they are. You knew that was coming.
It's absurd. I mean, the Second Amendment is absolutely, and the more and more I read about it, the more and more I'm convinced that the Second Amendment is obsolete. It is obsolete. It was written, and this is Tom Hartman did a bunch of really great research on the Second Amendment in terms of the origins of that amendment and how it evolved from being in one of the articles, you know, in the Constitution, enumerating, you know, national defense, and then evolved into something along the lines of providing a means to protect from a slave revolt. So the Second Amendment actually protected white Southern aristocrats from their slaves.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what the Second Amendment was all about. So as far as I'm concerned, the Second Amendment is no more you know, valid today as the Three-Fifths Clause was.
Again, I don't have a problem with responsible gun ownership, but I think it should be regulated to within an inch of its life.
Well, yeah, but,
you know,
but
it really should. And yeah, and I do think that this asinine idea that the Second Amendment is so broad based, as if, you know, I think we talked about it last week, as if the founding fathers in their infinite wisdom could ever have imagined the kind of weaponry that we have now when they, you know, put this thing together. But yeah, I mean, I think that it's not, I don't think it's completely outlived its usefulness, but yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that to say that it allows for just complete liberty when it comes to guns is just nonsense.
Yeah. Well, the idea of why we need it. I mean, the answer to that question, why do we need an amendment? I mean,
the interesting thing is that really, aside from, you know, the slave revolt thing is an interesting, you know, is certainly an interesting way of looking at it. But I mean, the reason that people today, that the gun fetishists say that we need it, it's the exact same reason it was 200 something years ago, because they genuinely believe that the government is going to come for, you know, for all of us. Mm-hmm. It's this insane paranoiac, you know, dystopia, you know, this dystopia that they believe in, that they're sure is coming, you know, these crazy freaking preppers.
Yeah. Well, and the irony is that it's not the government who is going to come for them, you know, in the context of the Second Amendment. It's the slaves. They were worried about the slaves.
Right.
Coming for them. And so that's why they wrote in the Second Amendment.
Yeah. I can't remember who it was. Was it something you put up? I swear, I read so much about this stuff that it all starts to run together after a while. But somebody who said, some lawmaker who said that in defending your home, nothing should restrict the amount of firepower you can have, because you should have as much firepower as you need for your own defense.
Oh yeah,
and it's like. Unless you're Pablo Escobar holed up in a compound somewhere, or unless the people who are coming for you, again, you know, if they're afraid of the government, unless the people who are coming for you have tanks, you don't need half the crap that these people swear they need.
Yeah, that's right. And I was going to say, You know, I'm not in favor.
The average guy breaking into your home can be stopped with a handgun. One handgun.
That's exactly right. And that was the point I was just about to make.
Yeah, I own a Sig Sauer Compact 45. It's got a crapload of stopping power. I know how to use it. If I can't hit and kill, if needed, I mean, really, genuinely, if absolutely needed, if somebody broke into my house and threatened my life, if I can't hit somebody with that, then nothing's going to save me.
That's right. That's right. And it's just there's a lot of overcompensating for fear, you know. I mean,
to be under siege. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. That's the way these people think. These people believe that it's not just, you know, the brown guy who's going to break into their home and you know, hurt them or their kids. It's the siege mentality that at some point there's going to be some Michael Bay style, you know, 80 freaking people at your doorstep.
Yeah.
It's all armed with automatic weapons.
It's going to be
you're going to be Tony Montana.
That's right.
And, Sosa has sent his entire army to kill you.
The Diaz brothers.
Yeah, the Diaz brothers. Right.
They're knocking on the door. They're jumping over the hedge and just like it, an entire stream of enemies are going to come flooding through your double doors, right?
That's exactly what it is. But the thing that the truly sane ones, insane ones are willing to say is that they're afraid that what it is the government. They're afraid it's the ATF, the jackbooted thugs. But yeah, for the most part, that's the Scarface thing is actually a pretty fine analogy because that's the weapon he very famously uses at the end of Scarface, you know, say hello to my little friend with the M16 with the grenade launcher.
That's right.
It's like the only reason you would need that is to defend against Sosa's army coming, you know, of Colombians coming, you know, up your circular staircase.
And what we don't need is a constitutional amendment, an obsolete constitutional amendment that protects your paranoia.
That's a great point. Protect your paranoia.
It's a paranoid delusion that suddenly the government's going to come into your house. Well, haven't all these Republicans been saying for the last 10 years since 9/11, well, if I'm not doing anything wrong, then what's the big deal?
Yeah. You know? And kids have to die for your delusion. Mm-hmm. Kids have to die so that you have the liberty to go on being a paranoiac.
That's right. If you're not doing anything wrong, the government's not going to come into your house and confiscate your your guns, your stash of nuclear grade plutonium or whatever the hell you're keeping in there, your meth lab. I don't know. It's just absolutely absurd. I'm not in favor of banning all guns. But look, we don't need a constitutional amendment that says, you know, what we're going to have a constitutional amendment on every product that you can purchase. It's ridiculous. It's time for that thing to either be amended or it's time for it to go. I mean, it's gotten to the point of being ridiculous. We got to take a break and come back and talk a little bit more about this right after this.
Bob and Chez Show.
Yeah, we're back on the show this week. So, the president's gun control proposals, it's really, really a comprehensive list of items. And, you know, it covers a lot of things that he was able to do via executive order, which he signed immediately after announcing. It was like 23 different things. And a lot of them are really, really good. I mean, it's a lot of really good news in there. In fact, I was surprised to see how comprehensive it was. But there are a few things in there, and obviously the most important things in the proposals are the ones that are going to be the most difficult to fight for.
Of course.
And we're talking about the assault weapons ban that he's going to try to reinstate. Without all of the loopholes in 1994, when the Clinton administration, the Democrats were trying to pass the assault rifle ban, the NRA went to work on it. The Republicans went to work on it and allowed for all kinds of ridiculous loopholes in it. And that basically turned the assault weapons ban into this ineffectual thing, or a less effective thing than it would have been had it not been strewn with loopholes. So the way the president wants to do it is he wants to eliminate all of those loopholes, you know. Stupid stuff like, you know, it's not an assault weapon if it doesn't have a grenade launcher attached to the top of it, which is absurd. But, I mean, we're not only talking about conservative Republicans. Let's face facts. The entire Republican House is going to vote against the assault weapons ban and the extended magazines ban.
Of course they are.
They're all going to vote against it. But there's a bunch of Democrats who are going to vote against it, too. Like, there's this guy, this a congressman from Georgia, John Barrow. You may have seen his commercial in the 2012 campaign, in which he, you know, in his really thick Southern drawl, just panders his ass off to the NRA and the Republican voters in his district.
Yeah, I mean, because that's this is another one of those issues, those incredibly hot button cultural issues that divides the South and certain parts of the country from other parts of the country.
Yeah.
I mean, it really just cuts across those kinds of lines where politics don't even really matter all that much.
That's right.
It's about location. It's about region.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and this guy, you know, he might be in a tight district, but you might as well have a Republican in there. At least, you know, the enemy, because this guy just, I mean, in this commercial, he pulls out a Smith & Wesson. He pulls out the shotgun, you know, just like showing off his, and then he's like, he's cocking it, you know, he's like recycling the rounds into like chink, as if he's playing Call of Duty or something. And then at the end, he's like, you know, don't try to take away my gun, chink.
Yeah.
Like it's a threat, like it's like a veiled
threat.
He may
threat. As well have just stood up and taken his dick out. Here's my dick.
I've been proudly endorsed by the NRA. Yee-hoo!
You know, but, I mean, again, that's the thing.
And as a Democrat.
I know we've talked about this before, and this goes back to the thing that I wrote forever ago when that Virginia Citizens Defense League had that gigantic gun free-for-all, gun giveaway to mock Michael Bloomberg, and it happened like 2 months after the Virginia Tech shooting. And it's like, you know, my point was at the time was there's a difference between a gun owner and a gun fetishist, a gun enthusiast. You know, I mean, when I say enthusiast, I use that word, you know, derogatorily. You know, it's these people who the gun is a, and they're always men. They are. The gun is an extension of their manhood, of their humanity, of who they are. These are just the last people on earth who should ever have a gun. Anybody who thinks that way should not be armed.
They have to have it. They have to have they it's become so synonymous with masculinity.
That's exactly what it is. That is a part of their masculinity. Mm-hmm. And if you take it away, it's like taking their dick away. Yeah. They're completely emasculated. It's cutting their balls off.
I mean, they figure that if they've got this gun, then they can be these alpha males. It's like this overcompensation that happens. It's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, it's
funny because it leaves you wondering, you know, that the sort of cliche, like, what are you? If you know, you're real big, you're a real tough guy right now, as long as you've got the gun strapped to your side.
That's right.
What are you if you took that away? You know, you almost want to challenge him. You know what? Put down your weapon and come over here and really fight me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's see who wins.
That's right. And
because I will beat your old ass.
And as you know, it goes back to the war on terror. It goes back to, again, I bring up this example again from the last 10 years. These people who are so tough talking, you know, who just walk around with this cowboy swagger, you know, are the most scared pee pants little babies in the world.
That's it. They're terrified. They're terrified of every little thing.
That's right. I mean, and now the government, which if you said one word, if you sneezed in the wrong direction at George W. Bush, you know, you were labeled, you know, unpatriotic. You were labeled a traitor against America for 8 years. And now it's all about, we need our guns because we don't want the government.
Oh, that's something I was going to mention earlier. Yeah, the ultimate dichotomy, the paradox, that just, you know, good luck trying to figure it out. We're patriotic Americans, but we don't trust, you know, we don't trust America. We don't trust the government. And I've seen, you know, you see that sort of bumper sticker kind of thing. I've seen that on, honestly, literally on bumper stickers. Mm-hmm. You know, I love my country. I don't trust my government or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, guess what, asshole? The government is your country. They're elected officials.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I may not like everything that they do, but, you know, I accept that this is America. This is the way we do things.
Well, all that patriotic claptrap flew right out the window as of January 20th, 2009.
Absolutely. You
know, whether it was supporting the president when troops are in harm's way or any of this stuff. I mean, it just seems like everyone's hunkering down, or not everyone, but everyone on the conservative side is hunkering down in fear of the government and wanting to impeach the president. And this is it's selective patriotism, really, is what it is.
Yeah, well, you know, that goes back to the conservative belief that they are the legitimate inheritors to the throne of this country every 4 years. Mm-hmm. And anything else is illegitimate.
That's right. Hey, we got to take
it's their birthright.
We got to take a break for Bubble Genius back after this. Yes, show is brought to you, as always, by BubbleGenius.com. Pure products, pure genius, Bubble Genius. They're going to talk about their dog soap, and I urge you, it's not just for your dog. You can use it, too, and it smells really good. I mean, I'm serious about that. I'm not making that up. It doesn't smell like... It really assumes that, like, a dog soap is going to smell like a dog. But it doesn't. It smells damn good, so... Go out and pick out your dog soap at BubbleGenius.com.
At Bubble Genius, we know that it's a dog-eat-dog world, and sometimes all you've got is man's best friend. We know you'd do anything for your precious pup. When he's a good boy, you give him his favorite treat. When he's gotta go, you take him for a nice walk. When he destroys your favorite shoes, you scold him, lament, and go shoe shopping. And when he eats God knows what and his ass becomes a dirty, stinking mess, well, we've got your backside on that one. You know that we Bubble Geniuses make fun, awesome soaps for people, but did you also know that we make stuff for your best friend? We've got dog soaps, shampoos, and conditioners that'll clean your disgusting doggy in no time and leave him soft, cuddly, and smelling super. And we don't stop with the de-stinking there. We also make Kismet, our flea-repelling doggy perfume that leaves your pup smelling sweet and dreamy. Doggy kisses leaving you offended at your pup's palate? Turn those sour smooches to sweet with Kiss Me, our all-natural breath spray for dogs. Works wonders on humans, too. Pamper your precious pup with genius products and more at BubbleGenius.com.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
Your promo code is Bob and Chez, BobandChez. Enter that when you go to checkout at BubbleGenius.com and you get 15% off your entire order. It's a bargain at twice the price. They pass the savings along to you. So I wanted to mention a couple of things, and then maybe we'll circle back to gun control. I'm sure you saw, Chez, the news about Glenn Beck's new theme park that he's opening up.
I did. Grifterland.
Grifterland. That's right. And, you know, he's not billing it as a theme park. I mean, he actually thinks this is going to be a legitimate test case for, I don't know what, Ayn Rand, libertarian-style... a utopia of some kind, a Galt's Gulf.
He's building Rapture.
That's right.
Did you ever play Bioshock? You ever play Bioshock?
No.
Yeah, he's building. Oh, Bioshock. Right, Rapture was the name of the underwater city that Andrew Ryan, which by the way is a pseudo kind of anagram for Ayn Rand,
yeah.
Built. You know, sort of a libertarian utopia built underwater.
Well, it's basically going to be an amusement park, but without, as far as I can tell, no rides.
Any amusements. It's a not very amusing park.
So as such, I mean, it's going to be a privately owned community owned by Glenn Beck.
Well, so it sounds like what he's doing is the original idea that Disney had for Epcot. which was, what was it like, Environmental Prototype City of Tomorrow or something like that?
Yeah.
That was like the original idea was that it was going to be a city, a place where people live.
Yeah, but the point is that if Glenn Beck owns all of this stuff, there's no real free enterprise or home ownership or any of that crap inside of it. Because he thinks you go in and then there's going to be an Ellis Island thing at the beginning where you go through Ellis Island, which sounds like a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
If you've been to Ellis Island, you know a little bit about what the immigrants went through.
Nothing says begin your amusing adventure here. Like, hey, welcome to Ellis Island.
Yeah, let me stick this quilting needle under your eyelid and check for lice or whatever the hell. There was some disease that they were checking for at Ellis Island.
Right. Welcome, Don Vito.
They basically have to turn your eyelids inside out or something to look for the signs of this disease.
And then they immediately assign you a slum after that.
That's right.
Down to the Lower East Side with you.
But then what they would do oftentimes, if you didn't have a relative there or if you didn't have enough money on you or if you had some sort of communicable disease, they would turn you around and send you back.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, what would be great is if kind of like at the Magic Kingdom in Orlando, if they have a gigantic lake and you have to sort of take a ferry to get there. And if you happen to be Haitian, the Coast Guard interdicts halfway across the lake and sends you back where you came from.
That's right. So that sounds like lots of fun.
They intercept your ferry and just, no, sorry, you're going back.
And you're just in this giant room with like a line that lasts 3 days. It's like the worst amusement park line
exactly.
ever.
That's how you get in. It takes 3 days to get into the park.
That's right. But there's no roller coaster on the other side. There's no fun thing on the other side. What's on the other side is something called the Marketplace, which evidently this is where Beck's going to set up like entrepreneurs and like small businesses, storefronts along this section of his town.
You realize none of this is going to happen.
Of course not.
I mean, he's got a lot of money, but it's just not going to happen.
It'll be like it'll be like south of the border. You're always a wiener with Glenn Beck. There'll be billboards for miles around. And all you
Still
can do
works
is
for miles on 95, and he's selling a lot of crappy fireworks.
Yeah, crappy fireworks and a miniature golf course.
Giant sombrero in the sky.
But this is the greatest idea, second only to Ellis Island at the beginning. There's going to be like a lake in the middle of it. And in the middle of that lake, there's going to be an island. And underground on the island is going to be his archives where he's going to keep valuable documents that are going to prove the truth about the origins of America and American values.
It's like Scientology land.
That's right.
But it is. He's like, he's trying to become L. Ron Hubbard.
But wait, the funniest thing is the last place you want to put your archive is underground on an island and surrounded by water.
That's
if you've ever had a flooded basement, you know that that's a terrible place.
Valuable documents.
You place to put all of your valuable papers.
What a jerk.
And photographs. Put them in cardboard boxes on the floor of your wet, damp basement, Glenn Beck. Really smart.
Did he say where he's going to do this?
I don't know. I assume it's going to be in a place like Branson. You know, it'd be like
I actually wouldn't be surprised if he does it in Florida. Florida is like the kind of place that would give him, you know, the tax breaks, and you know, it would be like right there, like in Orlando, in sort of the I-4 corridor next to what do you call it, Jesus Land, the Holy Land experience.
That's right. But I mean, really,
which I never did go to, and I always wanted to.
The whole point of this is to continue to sell to suckers, you know, the Glenn Beck brand.
Yeah, Glenn Beck jeans.
I'm sure you're going to be able to buy your Glenn Beck jeans there.
Hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, if it's really going to be all about private enterprise and going in and, you know, like you would any other place, any other city or town, you know, you should be able to go in. Like, you and I should be able to go in there and start the Bob and Chez store and sell nothing but ridiculous merchandise making fun of Glenn Beck. Yeah, let's see.
Yeah.
Let's see if they'll really allow that, Mr. Free Enterprise. They would never allow it. They would never give us a storefront there. And then how do they allot it? Usually, you know, when you set up a storefront, it's all about the competitive nature of a business district. Depending on where you go, you're going to be more or less successful based on your location. What's the first thing they talk about when you start a business? Location, location, location. And so how are they going to dole out these storefronts? Is it just going to be, you know, like a regular town? Or is are the Glenn Beck people going to divvy them up based on whether or not they like your idea? Hmm. Who knows? I don't know any of this stuff. But it was just, it was so funny. I was just captivated by the videos of Glenn Beck with his pointing stick and like this AutoCAD drawing on, you know, on the video screen of this town. Because it was really like the ravings of some sort of off his meds mental patient, you know. It's like the you remember, did you ever see the movie Quills with Jeffrey Rush?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or at the end, he's got, you know, he's writing all of his, you know, his lurid sexual things. He's got them scrawled all over the walls of his cell using his own feces.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it just, it seemed like that. It seemed like that. It was like he's talking
I don't
about.
Think I don't think you're that far off.
And he made sure to know, too, that there, I noticed on this AutoCAD schematic of his town, which is called, by the way, it's called Independence Park. Of course it's called that. But on this AutoCAD schematic, there was a wind farm, like a wind turbine farm, on the outskirts of town. And he starts out one of his videos by saying, these wind turbines, they don't really exist. My artist put these in there just to make me mad. So there's going to be no renewable energy in this place.
Of course not.
Right? So he's going to have to be on the grid in some way. Hey, we got to take a one last break back after this.
This is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
I was mentioning WPWC 1480 AM in Washington, D.C. at the top of the show. That's why we do these breaks. Gives them a chance to play their commercials. So if you're listening to the podcast and you've only ever listened to the podcast version of the show, you know, we do all these music interludes because, you know, we want to give the radio station, you know, terrestrial radio still has to run commercials, unlike podcasts. So we give them a space to do it. So we play the music and the little things and all the sounds and... It actually is kind of a nice break. I think if we weren't on the radio, I would almost keep doing that because it's kind of a nice transition between subjects.
Hmm.
So anyway, but so Glenn Beck's theme park is going to be ridiculous, but you should watch a couple of the videos because it's really insane. It's like it's one of the most insane things I've ever seen him do because it's like he says there's like a big tower. There's like a space needle in the middle of it, which happens to be right on top of the archives. And he described it as being a light collector. It collects light.
What in the hell does that even mean?
I don't know. And because he crapped all over the idea of renewable energy, it's clearly not a solar array. It's some sort of, I don't know what it does. It collects.
That's his Tony Stark arc reactor.
Yeah. There's going to be like, Glenn Beck's going to be up there with a jar, you know, and he's going to capture, look, I captured the sun in the jar. He's going to be, it's going to be like fireflies. He's going to be like fireflies. Yeah. I want to circle back around. Oh yeah. Yeah. This, I wanted to get to this real quick. Worst persons in the world, the EPA in Texas, there was a serious situation with, and we're seeing this all over the country, and especially in places like Pennsylvania, where an oil company or gas company is doing a lot of fracking, and consequently, which is the process where they drill for natural gas, and consequently, there's all kinds of chemicals and gas seeping into the groundwater and the well water, basically the drinking water. So to the point where you've probably seen the famous footage where a guy turns on his faucet in this documentary and lights a match and the water coming out of the faucet ignites on fire because there's gas in the water.
How lovely.
Well, a similar sort of thing happened in a Fort Worth suburb where the drinking water, these people are reporting that their drinking water started bubbling like champagne. And another guy turned on the spigot from his well water and, you know, like in the documentary, lit it on fire.
You ever been to Texas for any length of time?
No.
It really is a utopia of crappy, like, conservative-themed deregulation. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really is sort of anything goes. It's got, I mean, the air sucks, and the zoning, it's like, you know, my daughter lives in Dallas, and I was noticing this, Taryn and I were noticing this the last time that, you know, when we flew through coming back from our holiday vacation to drop Inara off in Dallas, I'm like, the zoning here just blows. It's like business run completely amok. You know, I mean, just essentially, yep. It's a free for all. It's like there's no regulation. It's like, just, you know, do whatever the hell you want, build whatever you want, put whatever, we don't care, you know. And I read about stuff like that, and I'm like, okay, you know, poison the water, screw it up, who gives a crap?
That's right. That's right. Well, that, I mean, that's what you get when you have Republican control of the government for an extended period of time.
Yeah, and so I mean, you know, I'm not somebody who's like a hardcore leftist saying that everything should be regulated all to hell. But yeah, I mean, it's noticeable in Texas. I mean, it genuinely is. It just, I mean, even as silly as it sounds, even the zoning, it's just like, it's a mess. I mean, the place is Dallas-Fort Worth is a freaking mess. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's like residential areas and then this gigantic building, this office complex that comes out of nowhere. And then this gigantic building that's like 30 stories high when everything around it is like, you know, 3 stories high.
Yeah.
It's just, where the hell are your zoning people?
That's right. Well, I mean, that's what you get. I mean, you know, what's turning, Iraq is becoming that too. I mean, Iraq has become almost like, you know, Glenn Beck's fake city that he's building. Iraq is like that. It's like this neocon free market paradise.
That was the original idea, you know, as put forward in the shock doctrine.
That's right. And so I assume it's the same. You're describing the same thing happening in Texas.
Well, I think the same thing is, you know, it's already happened in Texas. And, you know, what they'll say is, well, you know, we're open to business. We're very, you know, we're very, you know, business comes here because we're not restrictive of business, which is like, look, there, you know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, rolling the red carpet out for business. That's the way things work. It's the way our economy works. It's the way this, you know, to how states make money. I got no issue with that. But I mean, to do it at the cost of everything else, it's a disaster. It's just a really, kind of, you know, I hate to be one of those people who singles out Austin, because Austin really is a very pretty area. But I mean, almost every place I've been in Texas, and I've been to quite a few, it's like, it's just, especially the cities are just a freaking disaster.
Is it kind of like alternate 1985 and Back to the Future 2?
you know what? You're not going to believe this. I have never seen anything beyond the first Back to the Future.
Really?
Kid you not, man.
Oh, my God. Well, that's...
I swear to you, I mean, I know it's one of those weird things, because I loved Back to the Future so much, but for some reason, I have never, even to this day, decades after they, you know, they came out in the theater, I have never seen 2 or 3.
Well, what happens is in Back to the Future 2, and that is your assignment for this week is going to be to watch Back to the Future 2 and 3.
Oh, dear God.
Because they're actually not bad. They're not bad movies. They're good.
I saw Django Unchained, by the way. We'll have to talk about that in the after part.
Yeah, definitely. I want to get your thoughts on that. But in Back to the Future 2, Biff goes back to 1955 and steals the sports almanac. And then
right. I know that plot point, yeah.
Okay. And then he goes back to 1985. Old Biff gets his hands on the sports almanac, gives it to young Biff in 1955. Then young Biff becomes this betting icon where he starts winning all kinds of money betting on sports, and then basically takes over Hill Valley and turns it into this post-apocalyptic nightmarish, you know, with a big Biff casino, and there's like,
yeah, actually, you know what, that really is quite a bit what, like, you know, what you know, Houston, I mean, not every area, but what places like Houston and Dallas, I mean, Dallas especially, having just come back from there,
right.
You know, it's what it's like.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just freaking ugly, man.
So getting back to this Fort Worth story. So when a man in Fort Worth suburb reported that his family's drinking water had begun bubbling like champagne, the federal government sounded an alarm. A company may have tainted their wells while drilling for natural gas with, you know, the fracking process. At first, the EPA believed the situation was so serious that it issued a rare emergency order in late 2010 that said at least 2 homeowners were in immediate danger from a well saturated with flammable methane. Methane, that's the, you know, poop gas. More than a year later, the agency rescinded its mandate and refused to explain why. Now, a confidential report obtained by the Associated Press and interviews with company representatives show that the EPA had scientific evidence against the driller, Range Resources, but changed course after the company threatened to not cooperate with a national study into a common form of drilling called hydraulic fracturing or fracking. Regulators set aside an analysis that concluded the drilling could have been to blame for the contamination. So that basically this company, Range Resources, strong-armed the EPA and threatened not to cooperate. So then the EPA backed off the investigation of their fracking practices. Absolutely absurd. And this is, I mean, you want to talk about an opening wide enough to drive a truck through for Republicans to start crapping over all over the idea of government regulation. This is why people get a sour taste in their mouth over government regulation when it utterly and totally fails. And that's the, I mean, to me, it's at the EPA more often than not. When you hear about failed government regulation, it's the EPA dropping the ball.
That's not a surprise.
But, you know, in their defense, it has so been so defanged over the years. I mean, they've just drilled it through with all kinds of holes, loopholes, to make it ineffectual. It's kind of like the assault weapons ban. You say, well, why wasn't there ever a dent in assault weapon crime during the assault weapons ban? Well, it's because of all of the damn loopholes that the NRA used to sabotage the legislation. And now the president's going to try to fix that with new legislation that will. It's really going to be the toughest fight I think we've seen in at least since healthcare. I mean, it's going to be a real challenge to get this stuff passed through because the NRA is insane and they will do anything. They will never sleep until these pieces of legislation are destroyed.
I think it's going to be a much uglier fight than healthcare. And I think it comes down to the just beyond passionate nature of this debate. The fact that gun owners, you know, not all gun owners, but that, you know, there's a segment of the gun owning population who are just, again, fetishistic about their weapons.
But I mean, if you look
and I think that's going to be really ugly.
Well, and you consider the sorts of people we're up against on this. I mean, not only did the NRA immediately, out of the gate, within a matter of minutes, released a video in which they loop in the Obama daughters into the debate. It's a ridiculous video that said, well, if the Obama daughters have armed security at their school, why can't we have armed security at public schools?
Well, my favorite thing about that is you know, that's another case of like what you said about and what we've said about Ted Nugent and his whole, you know, it's like helmets preventing headbutts. It just, you know, that they really believe that logic. You could just see, you know, the look on the face of the NRA guys who came up with that ad going, you know, the president's daughters are guarded by guys with guns. What a hypocrite.
It's like, all right,
never mind the fact that Secret Service go through, extensive background checks and training. Mm-hmm. And also that the reason that the president's daughters are guarded by guys with guns is because there are crazy armed people out there who think that their dad is, you know, this alien Kenyan socialist usurper.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's, I mean, and I almost felt weird about having to explain that on the blog or in the Daily Banter. It's like, it's because of this and this and this. I'm going, they don't care. You think they haven't thought of that? Of course they've thought of that. But they don't care because they're broadcasting to people who don't care about the finer points. They don't care about the details. You know, it's speaking of crazies, you wrote a piece this week, oh my God, about these Sandy Hook truthers.
Yeah, I did bring that up.
And these are people who believe that the Sandy Hook massacre was staged as a entryway into more gun control.
Right. Well, I mean, it's fascinating because number one, it shows how crazy we become as a society and how anybody can seek out like-minded individuals now. And that was the point of my piece. I was kind of jokingly talking about what we talked about last week about how there are times when I'm just like, I wish the internet would just go away. I wish these people were again relegated to their mom's basement where they can't do any harm and nobody can hear from them.
That's right.
That would be really nice. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It just, The Sandy Hook Truther thing is so offensive, but it's so revealing about the way a certain segment of the population thinks. This belief that, you know, the guy who put together that Sandy Hook Truther video that's been watched like 10 million times in 1 week, where he said, you know, it's just too perfect. And it's like you can see his thought process. His thought process is like, you know, in some ways it's very revealing about the fact that our world has become – it's so difficult now to tell the difference between what's real and what's artificial because we're overwhelmed by so much media that it's kind of like the Matrix.
Yeah.
These people really believe that because everything is just so perfect, it's got to be fake. It's got to be, you know, wow, it came along at the right time, which of course it didn't. Or, you know, I see this particular end being reached by it. So therefore, because that's possible, well, it's obvious that, you know, that must be it must have been by design. It's just, yeah, it's complete insanity.
Yeah. And that's sort of the hallmark of Alex Jones. We talked about Alex Jones last week.
Yeah.
Not surprisingly, a big chunk of that video, the Sandy Hook Truther video on YouTube, has a big section from InfoWars, which is Alex Jones's website.
Right.
InfoWars.
And Alex Jones is freaking crazy. I mean, not even worth listening to.
You know, did you see Cenk had Alex Jones on his show on Current?
Oh, no, I didn't.
And asked Alex Jones point blank, has he ever sought psychiatric help?
What did he say?
Alex Jones thought it was hilarious.
I'm sure he did.
And then proceeded to say, is it crazy to think this or is it crazy to think that? Not a lot.
Yeah, actually, yes, it is. Is it crazy to think that we're being poisoned by chemtrails? Yes, it's absolutely crazy to think that.
Yes. Well, and, you know, Alex Jones notwithstanding, the Republican Party is actually – there's lots of overlap between the pro-gun Republican Party and Alex Jones.
There is.
Yeah. I mean, there was –
and it's unfortunate.
Yeah. I mean, Marsha Blackburn, who's the Republican from Tennessee, a member of Congress, said this week. We need to do a couple of things. Number one is to drill down on the mental health issue. Number two is to look at the psychiatric and psychotropic drugs. Because that is many times linked to the individuals who carry out these crimes. They're also wanting to make certain that we begin to get in behind these video games.
Right, because it's the fault of the video games.
The problem is, it could be a hammer, a hatchet, a car. You know, this is like ripped directly from Alex Jones and NRA propaganda. That's what it is. The psychotropic psychiatric drugs, that's from the Alex Jones. Alex Jones ranted about that on CNN last week. It was all about the Prozac and all these antidepressants that you know, one of the symptoms is suicidal thoughts. You've probably seen the disclaimers. But that was one of Alex Jones's thing. Like, we're going to tie it to such a major distraction in the debate. So as to render the debate completely ineffective, just completely sidetrack it. And then one of the sidetracks is going to be, we're going to target these drugs. And here's Marsha Blackburn saying the same damn thing. And then comparing firearms to hammers, hatchets, and cars. That's also directly from the NRA, directly from crackpots like Alex Jones.
Yeah, it's people who don't understand Occam's razor.
That's right.
You know, the simplest explanation, you know, all things being equal, the shortest distance between two points is the shortest distance between two points. And to look, there's nothing wrong with looking at alternate causes as long as you're not doing it at the expense of looking at guns.
That's right.
You're blaming something else, you're a moron. You're purposely being obtuse. You're purposely overlooking the lowest common denominator, the lowest hanging fruit.
That's right. Well, they're just going to keep going, and they're never going to stop. And I really, really hope that the pro-gun control movement is ready to meet them point for point and remain tenacious and to win this fight, because it's going to be a hell of a fight. And my concern, as I've expressed since Sandy Hook, is that we get really pumped up about these things, and then it's like, there's a shiny new object over there. What's going on over there? And so we lose interest, and we walk away from it. And the NRA always wins that way. They count on our short attention.
They win by attrition.
That's exactly right. And so they're they can absolutely win this way. And they've got the numbers. They've got the votes in the House of Representatives. And we have to swing votes back the other way. We have to get some of those conservative Democrats to turn their backs on the NRA and to vote, you know, for this assault weapons ban and for a ban on these extended magazines. It has to happen. And the only way we can do it is to keep up the pressure, keep the conversation going, keep the dialogue going, and meet these bastards every point they make.
Yep.
Hey, after party is tomorrow, noon Eastern, Friday, noon Eastern, $6 a month to subscribe. You can cancel at any time. It's really convenient, really easy. Just at the top of bobsuska.com, click the after party link. See a big link right there. It says join the after party. All you got to do is go to PayPal and sign up. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Drive safely and see you tomorrow.